Blog Talk Radio.
What got you started on this path? Because you got started on the holistic health path
over 35 years ago. So you've been doing this for a long time, and you were doing it before holistic health was even a popular word. So could you please share with our listeners what got you started on this path?
Well, it was in 1980, about. I just graduated from law school, and I was didn't have any particular idea about what I wanted to do. So I went home for a couple of days, turned out to be a little longer, but I went home and spent some time with my family and get to know them. And when I got home, my mother was saying that she had just left the doctor's office, and he told her to go to Duke University in the morning to make sure to see what was going on with her, because she'd been complaining about some issues that was going on. And so the next morning, my dad and I got up and we took her to Duke University in Durham. And we sit there all day, and sometime mid-afternoon or later, they came back and told us that she was diagnosed with cancer of the breast and the liver and the colon. So that was kind of a setback, and they kept her for a while and did a few more tests and whatever they could do for her. And about a week later or so, they say that, well, you have to take chemotherapy or, you know, go home. So at that time, she asked me, what would I do if I was her? And I say, well, if I was you, I think I would just, you know, get my stuff and let's go home, and we'll make you as comfortable as can for your last few days, if that's what it is. And she took my advice. So we left the hospital, went home, and I felt an obligation to do something other than just sit there and wait for death. And I started looking around about what this body is about and why do we get sick, and finding information about how to use the herbs and the plants, which is the only thing that can really heal us, I think. And after I got my information together, I started using some of this information with her. So about the third or fourth week after being out of the hospital, she kind of settled down and accepted the fact that she could do something about her life. And we got involved with herbs, using the herbs, using the honey, doing the enemas, doing the spiritual side, like fasting and reading the Bible and praying and all of that kind of stuff. We did it a little bit of all of that. And about a month after that, she was pretty much stable. And I think everybody was shocked, including me. And we got involved with this product from that came out around that time called Pardaco. And we started using that, and that made a world of difference. It just seemed to get rid of the cancer cells and got her back on her feet, and she was pretty much moving around on her own and doing pretty good. So after that, I was convinced that this is what I'm supposed to do, because, you know, I looked around, and my aunts, my uncles, all of them had some kind of disease or was dying of something, and I say, now, this, what's wrong with this picture? So that's set me on a mission to do and say and share as much as I could find out about how to live, and led me to this whole thing about the diet and how we eat and how that contributes to disease, and it got me into a place where I am now at Secrets of Nature, which we primarily deal with a meatless diet, a plant-based diet primarily, and we try to encourage people that want to do that to have a place where they can go and see what it's like and make a difference in their own life. So 35 years later, here I am, and still doing it.
You know, that's a powerful, powerful testimony to the power of prayer, the power of faith, and the power of that which God created, which is what you used. You didn't use anything that God didn't make. And so if you could just share with the listeners, again, just to go into that process a bit, because you had to actually, there was a transition that had to be made. She was, I assume at that time, eating meat, dairy, sugar, you know, all of the things that possibly contributed to her condition. And you had to actually go in there and actually eliminate those things that were contributing to the condition, because oftentimes the doctors, they don't tell you how you got what you got. They just tell you what you got. And then they tell you, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to either give you chemo, we're going to cut it out, or we're going to operate on you, or, you know, whatever. But if you don't know how you got what you got, then even if the doctors, let's say, perform a particular operation and it's successful, quote, end quote, if nothing else changes in your life, then that same condition could either come back or resurface as something else. So you actually had to remove certain things from her diet, and then you actually went back to the doctors, and they actually ran every test, and the cancer in both breasts was gone, the cancer in the liver was gone, and the cancer in the colon was gone, correct?
Yeah, she was cancer-free. And I think the turning point was like when you're told that you only have 30 days to live, you know, your mind kind of goes all kind of directions, and you get kind of caught up in things that really doesn't matter. You're still not dealing with the condition when you are emotionally traught in terms of your condition. So you have to deal with the psychological side of it in terms of getting the person to come around to understand that there is something that they can do about it, and it's up to them as whether or not they want to live or die, and encourage them by doing it with them or going through it with them. All of that is the first step you have to do, get the person to the place to where they know that they can live and that they can make a difference in their own life. Once you get them there, they can pretty much deal with the rest of the stuff that comes along, because they got a little defense. They can kind of fence themselves in and say, well, this is what I got to do, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning of healing yourself. You have to get to a place to where you allow yourself to heal, and you can't do that if you're emotionally distraught about everything that's going on around you, or feeling like, why me, or what did I do to deserve this? You got to get past that. Then you can begin to deal with the body in this real sense. And that's kind of what happened with my mother, and I happened to share that with her, and I was thankful.
You know, for you to be able to actually witness the power of God at work, I mean, you were one of the tools in his hands that he was using to heal your mother. You know, if God was doing the healing, you were the scalpel, you know what I mean, that he was using, for lack of a better term, to actually heal her, and for you to witness it. And that had to just be phenomenal on several levels, because just to witness the power of God and then for it to be your mother, and because her life was in your hands, really. I mean, well, of course it was in God's hands, but again, God placed her in your hands. And you, being the loving son and the, you know, caring son that you were, had to, you know, deal with, I mean, faith in the sense that here's your mother, you're working with her, never did this before, and to never have actually done this before and to have had the success, that is powerful. Through you and the power of herbs, and the power of a plant-based diet, on your first time, the first person you ever worked with, you cured her cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. Three different types of cancer, or three cancers manifesting in three different parts of the body. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. That person should have been dead, and that's what they told her. Mm-hmm. But God said something different, and she lived 10 years after that. So all praises to God, and all praises to the ability that we have to change our mind and make a difference in our own life.
You know, and for everybody that's listening, there are a lot of people out there that might be experiencing certain things in their life, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, whether it's heart trouble, whether it's, you know, dementia, whether it's whatever the case is. Anytime you're talking about making a change, you have to know that you're changing from one thing to something else. And a lot of times I think people head down certain paths because they don't realize that there's another path. You know, I always use the example that if you're in a line and there's 100 people in front of you and you're the last person in the line and everybody in front of you is falling off the cliff, you have a choice. You can either stay in that line and end up at the bottom of the canyon along with everybody else, or you can get out of that line and say, no, I'm going this way. But you have to first know that there's another way. And I think that for a lot of people, they don't realize that there are viable options that they have. They don't think that, oh, if the doctor tells me this, there's another way that I can go. And so for the last 35 years, you've been showing people another way, successfully.
Another way.
And I'm sure that since your mother, a better way. And the doctors aren't going to tell you that way. And this is the interesting part, because many times they don't know that there's another way. And in their not knowing that there's another way, they will discourage you from going that way because they don't know that way. And so if you tell the doctor, hey, listen, you know, I heard this broadcast on the radio. They were talking about that I can change my condition and all I really have to do is just change my lifestyle. That doctor who doesn't know that way will discourage you, will tell you, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that if I were you. That doesn't work. And that's a fact. Isn't that correct, Corey? They will tell you not to go that way.
That's correct, because they don't know. So they don't know. How can they tell you another way? They're not trained in that way. They're trained in how to administer drugs and how to do cut you up or give you a poisonous pill or something, but they're not trained in how the body really works and what it takes to really heal the body. They are specialized in disease, and without that disease, they wouldn't be in business. So they encourage you into a diseased state, and they keep you in that state.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, you're listening to King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Just heard his powerful, powerful testimony. I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to hear him and his testimony so that now you know why you're listening to this man, okay? You're not just listening to somebody off the street. And by the way, I want to reiterate, Coy had graduated from law school when he started working with his mother. You're not talking to an uneducated man. You're talking to somebody that researches, somebody that reads, somebody that, you know, is a very well-educated person. Because I think a lot of times when people hear about alternative ways, they think, you know, voodoo or you know, they're thinking that, you know, this is something spooky or something. No, you're talking to somebody that's a researcher. You're listening to somebody that's and I'd say an educator, because he's been educating people on this for the past 35 years. This is not something he just got into day before yesterday, okay? And I want to just encourage everybody that's listening, if you're listening by phone and you have a question and you'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. It will let me know that you have a question or a comment, and then I can bring you up and you can ask your question or comment. But again, tonight's show, now that you know why you're listening to Brother Coy, tonight's show is on finding the fountain of youth, how to reverse the aging process. As I stated at the top, a lot of times people think certain things just come along with age. You think that as you go older, you're gonna get arthritis. That's what I think the common thought is, that, you know, that's one of the ones everybody thinks you're just bound to get. You're gonna get arthritis. You're gonna need to wear glasses. You're gonna need to, you know, you might get diabetes or whatever. They just assume certain things come along with the aging process, but we're here to tell you that, again, there's another way. Things don't have to just be simply because that's the way it's always been. Now, if you don't make certain changes in your lifestyle, yeah, certain things you can count on happening. But there's another way, and we're going to get into that. Brother Coy, we're going to talk about, again, the aging process. One of the things that a lot of people end up having to, we're going to go down a few of them, Alzheimer's and dementia. Let's start there. There are a lot of people out there that know people, even caring for people, that have Alzheimer's and dementia. Very, very sad disease. I mean, you see people that go from being healthy, strong, and vibrant, and loving, and kind, and cheerful, to, you know, sad, depressed, withdrawn, forgetful, you know, and then caring for them can become a challenge. That is something that happens, and it's in the brain. How can food and diet either contribute to reversing Alzheimer's, healing a person with that, or contributing to them actually getting it?
Well, primarily in this society, I think most of us came up in an era of the fast food and the when the processed foods really hit the country in a way that you could hardly eat anything unless it was packaged or processed. In fact, if it wasn't packaged or processed, you'd think you shouldn't eat it. That started the process. Our body is an electrical circuit. All through our body, we have electrical circuits. And when you eat this processed food or a lot of animal-based food, milk, cheese, animal fat, those things tend to short out the circuits in the body. And it is my belief that when it comes to Alzheimer's, we are shorting out our circuits in the brain because we got all this animal fat and gook and sugar and all that stuff short-circuiting our circuit system in the body. So as a result, over time, you burn out a circuit or you blow a fuse and you don't know how to turn it back on, it progressively gets worse. This fuse will cause another fuse to blow, and that fuse will cause another fuse to blow, and after a while you have no electricity going through your body. So you become mum or like a zombie kind of sort of. You just walk around and you really don't know what's going on. You really don't know where you are. You get to a place to where you're just a vegetable. You can't function at all because your circuits are shut down. So the trick is learning how to turn those circuits back on. And to do that, you have to understand that that is the problem in the first place. Your circuits are shutting down. And you need to understand what you need to do to turn them back on. So the first thing you need to do is to change the diet. I would think if you've been eating a certain way all your life and all of a sudden these things start happening to you, you can't remember, you can't think, you lose your sense of direction, all of that. Your eyes start going, all of that. Then you need to understand that that's not just because you're getting old. It's because of what you're putting in your body has a lot to do with it. So if you want to reverse that, start giving your body live food. Stop eating cooked food. Anything that's cooked, you want to get rid of it. Because when you cook a food, it's dead. It goes in, it turns to mucus, and it'll short out those circuits. Now, the animal fat particularly, because it carries the cholesterol and all the other things that we generally associate with an animal diet, arthritis, gout, all those things comes from a lot of it comes from eating parasites of animal products. So if you want to reverse it, the first thing I would say is to eliminate the animal product, at least from the diet. Begin to give it more raw food, fruits, vegetables, grain, nuts, seeds, what God intended us to eat. And try to make sure that as much as you eat from a plant that is not a hybrid, that is not man-made, and continue to do that and detox the body, cleanse it to get that old stuff out and put the new stuff in, and you'll find that some of those generators will start coming back on, and you'll find that you can delay or push back the onset of the result of eating an animal diet, all the things that come from eating an animal diet and all the diseases that come from eating an animal diet, you'll see that your body will respond and some of those generators will come back on and you'll feel more energetic and more like living a life. You'll feel like you're living a life worth living when you begin to treat the body the way it should be treated. But oftentimes we do what we do because that's how we are conditioned. We came up in a time of fast food. We came up in a time of television. All of those things contribute to us being programmed to do certain things. We see something often enough you go and do it. You see McDonald's every 5 seconds. There's a commercial on TV about McDonald's. Stop in and get it. Or wherever you, whoever have enough money to advertise to sell you this junk, that's what you see. And they program you into buying that stuff. And it's really not what you your body really needs. And over the long time, over the long term, your body will feel the effects. Now, God will forgive you for all of that, but your body won't. That's a quote from a good friend of mine that's passed on, Brother Bate.
Yes,
God will forgive you for all of that, but your body won't. So you have to understand that God gave you this temple and he gave you dominion over it, and you have the responsibility to learn how to take care of it and make it work for you as long as you feel like you need it to work. And short of that, you're going to wind up in some condition, Alzheimer's, dim sight, whatever. You're going to go into some state of disease that's going to eventually claim your life if you don't change your ways. So that's kind of how we get there, and that's what we have to do to understand what we need to do to correct those conditions. Understand that the body is electrical, and that when you short circuit out certain generators in the body, it's going to affect you, break down into a disease that's going to lead to some of the conditions that are preventable, basically. And so starting and understanding and starting from that point, you can do a lot to reverse a lot of things in your life and your body.
Everybody, you're listening to King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Again, if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening by phone, if you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. You know, Brother Coy, every time I listen to you, it just reinforces to me just what a miracle just the body is itself. I mean, when you just think about all of the intricate details that God had to take into consideration when creating the body, and how the body works, and how one thing affects another, and how the cells work, and you know how the different systems, the lymphatic system, the circulatory system, the respiratory system, the you know all of these different systems work together so that we can do the things that we take for granted. You know, just if you just think about the process of walking, even just, you know, how the brain will, you have an idea, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk through the refrigerator, you know. And that starts with a thought, and then after that thought, then there's certain other things that go into play. The muscles have to move, and, you know, all of this. And all the while that you're consciously thinking about, I'm going to walk through the refrigerator, there are certain things that are going on in your body that you aren't even in control of. So, for example, your heart beating. You know, you couldn't. You might say, "Okay, I'm going to walk to the refrigerator," but you can't. And you can get up and do that. But right now, if you decided, without doing anything physical to harm yourself, if you decided, "I'm going to stop my heart from beating," just you thinking that, you couldn't do it. You know, that's going to do it without your permission. So, just this body is just such a miracle in the way God has ordained it to work. And then for us to just live in this body for as long as we live in it, we need to know how it works. We need to go to God. I've heard you mention this. Go to the person that made it, okay? Get the manual and find out how this body works, because in the absence of that, we just put anything in it. You know, we'll put stuff in it that we wouldn't put in a car. You would not put sugar in your car, but you put it in your body, you know, because it tastes good. And I understand that it's a process, but if we want to function and live a long, healthy, productive, painless, disease-free life, then there are just going to be certain things that we're going to have to do, and we're going to have to do some changing if, in fact, we find ourselves in a position where we don't want to be. So I encourage everybody that is what these shows are for. These shows, when I bring on Brother Coy Dunstan, are to help to reinforce this process, because it is a process. You need help to do this, to make this change. You need encouragement to make this change. You need a support system to make this change. And that's why we have Brother Coy coming on, because to let you know that you're not alone in this. And if you have questions, you can either call in and ask questions of Brother Coy on the air, or if it's something that's personal and you don't want to ask it on the air, we'll give his information and you can contact him and you can set up an appointment, consultation, and you can speak with him personally. But you're not alone in this. And I think it's important to stress that you're not alone. Okay, you have people that will pray with you. You have people that will support you, will give you information to help you to make this journey one that's painless, that can be joyful, and you can actually, just like Coy, see the miracle of God at work. So, again, if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1. Today we're talking about how to reverse disease. Brother Coy, another one that people often assume is going to come upon them when they get older is arthritis. That's a big one for a lot of people. You have people that joints are hurting. They, you know, can't move like they used to. You know, they're just certain things. We get a certain age and, you know, people feel like they can't. If you go to the family reunion, you see the young folks dancing and then you see the old folks dancing. And the old folks just kind of doing the one step to the side, side to side. You know what I'm saying? Talking about, y'all don't know nothing about that there. But,
yes.
If you could talk about arthritis, even, that's not, and you don't have to get arthritis just because you get old. Can you talk about arthritis and how that can be reversed as well?
Well, animal fat is a direct relationship to arthritis. You eat the animal fat, and it interferes with your body's ability to assimilate calcium. And as a result, your body starts pulling calcium from the bone. And over time, those generators that are supposed to keep the bones flexible and the circulation to the bone and the muscles around the bone, over time, of clogging all this stuff, animal fat around your knees and joints, that's where you usually get it, because that's where that inflammation settles, you get this pain that particularly arthritis and gout that really is very uncomfortable, and it restricts your movement in a way that you can't do certain things. But again, I think if you want to reverse the arthritis, what they call arthritis, you can call it whatever you want. It's the same thing. Those generators have been cut off to the circulation to that area. It has become inflamed, and as a result of it not being able to get oxygen and nutrition, they freeze up and they just shut down on you. And if you don't know how to reverse that, you can have a real problem with the pain that comes with the arthritis and the gout. But directly, I think animal fat is the direct cause of those kind of conditions. So first, you got to really understand that you got to back up off the animal fat as much as you can. Replace it with some grains, nuts, and seeds that will begin to clear out that area, get some circulation going, and begin to restore the structure of the skeletal systems in a way that it can push out that inflammation and keep it from accumulating. And you can do that primarily through the diet and getting off the animal fat. I think that's the bottom line with arthritis. You can correct it, you can cure it, you can reverse it, whatever you want to call it, but you have to know why you got it and what you have to do to reverse it. Otherwise, you're going to be taking a lot of medication that's going to create a problem somewhere else. And over time, you're going to stop your circulation system and lead yourself to a stroke or a heart attack.
Hmm. You know, Brother Coy, if we could talk for a moment just about the importance of actually adhering to vegan plant-based diet, because, you know, we come on the air and we talk about this and we, you know, share the information, and because, you know, we can only provide information for people. You know, you can only share with them your testimony, which is powerful, and share, you know, what you did to, you know, cure your mother of cancer and both breast, the liver, and the colon. You can share, you know, how if, you know, a person does this, they can get rid of that. But because it's almost, it's like suggestions, you know. Well, I suggest this, and, you know, and because it's presented as a suggestion, then sometimes people don't understand that although it's being presented as a suggestion, that, and they might feel like, well, you know, hey, it's a suggestion, you know, I can do it or I cannot do it. But the bottom line is, okay, if you don't do it, you know, you're not going to get rid of the condition, okay?
Yeah.
In reality, you're not going to get rid of what, if you're not going to get rid of cancer if you keep eating meat, okay? You're not going to get rid of arthritis, because meat is what causes the inflammation and the uric acid. You're not going to get rid of it if you keep eating meat, you know? These conditions, you're not going to get rid of if you keep eating meat, you know? So I think that it's important that people understand that, yes, when you tune in and you listen, you know, they come across as suggestions, but it's important to know that these are very strong suggestions, you know, that you're not going to get rid of it if you don't. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, going back, I think it's Fannie Lou Hamer, if my memory serves me correct, that told us that you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result.
Mm.
You have to come to that to know that you need to change. And once you can understand that you need to change in order to get a change, it reinforces the notion that yes, I need to do something different. Just if for no other reason, just to see what difference it makes, and understanding what to do is the next step. You have to get under your belt, so you have to kind of maybe do a little research, ask somebody that know, and follow their advice and see what happens. And that's where this whole process comes from. I think we have the dietary law in the Bible. You could go back to that. Even in the dietary law, because we are so stubborn or hard-headed, some meats are allowed. But that was at a time when we didn't have these processing plants that poked and the agriculture industrial industry that pump all these chemicals into the meat to make it bigger or grow faster or whatever. That was at a time when things grew on the land and you could eat it off the land, and you didn't have to go through this process and stuff. But now, even in light of the dietary laws that we have in the Bible, we have to be considerate of where we are now in terms of where the agricultural industry has taken the food, the whole idea of food and what it is. So you have to really do a little bit of studying. It does take a lot, but just go to, if you know where to go and what to read, and you can reason and make sense out of it, you can pretty much tell what you ought to eat and what you ought to be doing in terms of keeping your body as sacred as you can. And you just have to do it. It's just a matter of making up your mind. You to do that which you know is right is sometimes more difficult than just doing something. And I think that's the biggest problem. People just don't have the energy or the desire to really make that change. And they're comfortable in their misery because the doctor's going to give them a pill. They're going to feel better. And they get them high again when they go back and say it didn't work. They give them another pill. So people get comfortable in that because they don't have to be responsible. But if you want to get your body well, you got to be responsible for something. And the first thing is to learn how to treat it and what it needs to live. And that's something we really not taught, and we should be taught. We should be teaching it to our children, what your body really need, and what you and where do you get it, and how do you get it. And once you get that into them at a young age, it's a little easier later on. They can understand what's going on with them when these things start happening to them, at least recognize when something is wrong, and then be able to do something about it. But if you never learn how to really treat the body, and you never take the time to study to learn how to treat the body, you're going to pass on this from one generation to another, and that's what's oftentimes happening to us in this world.
You know, Brother Coy, and I want to stress here the importance, you know, because we can't have this discussion without even talking about water, because I know for a fact that when it comes to water, I was one of those people that just, I didn't like water. You know, it was tasteless to me. It just didn't have a taste to it, you know, and it was just like just the thought of just drinking lots of water all day just was not appealing to me, you know. And I know there are a lot of people out there that feel like that, you know, that feel the exact same way. I felt that way. I know. I've been there, okay. But we have to get to a point where we know that it's good for us, you know, because when something is good for you and you know that it's good for you, then, and you know how important it is, you know, that has to outweigh the, well, I don't like the taste of it, you know, because, for example, I don't like asparagus, you know. I don't like asparagus. I never did. I mean, I don't care. However I tried to eat asparagus, people said, well, try it this way, try it that way. Whatever way I tried it, I just didn't like the taste of it. But I know asparagus are good for me. Now, I'm going to try to find, if they say asparagus got vitamin A and vitamin E and all this other, I'm going to try to find something else with vitamin A and vitamin E before I eat asparagus, okay? But I know it's good for me, and if it comes down to it, I'm going to eat it because I know that it's good for me. Now, I'm going to look for some other options, but, you know, I relate that to water because it's not but so much you can do. Like, when it comes to water, it's like, okay, whatever, you're going to have to find an alternative, but it's still going to be water. Your water alternative is going to still have to be water, you know? But could you talk about just how, even when it comes down to making the changes that we need to make, that, yes, there may be certain preferences that we might have. Yes, there may be certain things that we don't necessarily like, but the fact that it might be good for us has to outweigh the fact that, oh, well, because just think, let's say you became dehydrated and your bones became brittle, you know, and that as a result of your bones being brittle, they fracture easy or whatever. And then you come to find out that all that could have been solved by just drinking more water. you know. Could you talk about the importance of water?
Well, we're, 80-90% water, something like that. And it astounds me, even today, people come into the store in the afternoon and I say, have you drunk any water today? They say, no. And I say, how can you leave home without at least drinking a quart or so of water? I mean, that's the first thing you put into your body in the morning. That would make a tremendous difference because your body flushes in the morning. So all the water that you had from the day before is gone, so you're dehydrated. And we know now that dehydration is a part of the disease process. If you want to do something simple to really reduce your chances of getting a disease, just drink more water. Because your body needs at least half its body weight in ounces every day. And if you don't do that, you're leading your own self into disease or whatever you want, whatever disease you get. It can be caused by dehydration, and dehydration is a major cause of disease because a lot of people just don't drink water. They get up in the morning and drink a cup of coffee or drink a soda, but they won't drink any water. And that's because our palate has not been trained to give it. We have not been trained to. Our palate has not been trained to appreciate what the body really needs, and that's why I say we have to start with our children when they're young. Even though, you know, they may not like because you have given them sugar or something, or they've had the taste of sugar. So you give them something that's not sweet, they may not want it. So we have to, first of all, try as best as we can is to keep our children away from sugar as long as you can, and that would make the process of accepting other foods a little bit easier. But oftentimes we add the sugar so we can get them to eat it. and that leads into us not liking something and not being able to bring ourselves around to be able to accept it as something that we should eat. So we turn our nose up at it and say, I don't eat that, and I'm not going to eat that, and blah, 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 blah. All these reasons why, but it's really the reasons why you get sick. You don't give the body what it needs. It needs green leafy vegetables and water. It needs most of the foods that you should be eating should have water in it. And if you cook the food, it's no water in it because you've killed all the enzymes or whatever the life process in that food is. When you cook it, you've killed it all. So that it adds more to the dehydration. So you speed yourself up to a process to where you get sick faster, and then you're not drinking water. That even speeds it up even more. So that's why we deteriorate so early and break the body breaks down, because we have abused it to the point to where it just can't function anymore. Say, I can't do this anymore. You got to give me something to work with, and you keep giving me this junk. I can't do anything with it. The only thing I can do is just shut down. So you get yourself into the doctor, and you get on this trail of medication, and you're still not drinking water. The only time you drink water maybe is when you take the medication, and then the medication dehydrates you. So you drinking water is a very most important thing. You got to drink your water every day, and you can't. That's not you don't have an option about that. If you don't do that, you're going to wind up sick. Constipated.
Everybody, you're listening to Brother Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's a regular on Jawanza for Life, comes on once a month, and we talk about a different aspect of holistic health. And for a moment, Brother Coy, if we could, let's talk about prayer briefly, because I think that a lot of times people might substitute prayer for eating healthy. I mean, you take the average person, regardless of what their religion, whether they're Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, you know, whatever, Hindu, whatever, most people are thankful for the food that's on their plate. And oftentimes, people say grace before they eat the food. But you saying grace or thanking God for the steak that's on the table is not going to remove the toxins from the steak. Okay, you giving thanks for the steak is not going to remove the toxins from the steak. Okay, and you know, I think a lot of times people substitute prayer for changing their diet to a live it. And you know, I had to actually sit back and think about this, because you know, I grew up, you know, and you know, I believe in divine healing. I truly believe that God is more than able to, you know, do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I believe that God has the power to touch anybody and heal whatever it is that they're dealing with. But I had to look at it. And the reality of it is that we all know far too many people it could be loved ones or people that we know that have gotten sick with either cancer or heart trouble or whatever, and we prayed. Not only did we pray, we got other people to pray. We got the prayer warriors together, and they prayed. We talked to the pastors, and they prayed. I mean, we got everybody we knew to pray, and they prayed. And in many cases, if not most cases, the person died of what it is that we were praying to God for them to be healed of. That happens far too often. Now, does that mean that God doesn't heal? That's not what I said. I said I believe that God heals, but it should be the other way around. Many of us can't even say that we know one person that was divinely healed. And for those who say, I know one person, do you know two? And for those who say, I know two, do you know three? Okay, because I'm sure you know far more people that have died of what you were asking God to heal them from than those who were actually touched and divinely healed. Now, I'm saying that to say this, that faith without works is dead. And if God healed you or whomever of whatever it is that the doctors diagnosed them with, if they did not change, their diet to a limit, they would get it again. So could you talk about prayer? Because, again, I know that prayer is important, but you got to add something to your prayer.
Right. Well, I mean, you have to be careful what you pray for and why you are praying. Prayer is an acknowledgement that there is something outside of you that's bigger than you that can do what you can't do. And so you want to pray that you can come to a place to where you got a brain and you can use it to do the right thing. And then you have to go out and work and keep studying and keep reading till you understand what the right thing is. And then that's when you pray. You pray when you know what you want to pray for. Yes, prayer has its place, and God can do whatever he wants to do, and he does. And you can do that if you're sick and someone else is sick and you're praying for them. You're praying for them to heal the body. They may recover from whatever the condition is, but until they really make a difference in terms of what caused that disease, they're really not healed. They haven't what they call turned from their wicked ways. That's where we need to get to understand that our ways are wicked and we have to turn from them and turn that plate down and get in, you know, go into another plate and begin to, from our learning, learn how what's necessary to make that correction. And in our prayer, we pray that we stay strong and we continue to get the wisdom that we need to make the right decisions. First of all, knowing what the right decision is and then making that decision and then living by it. And that's a process we get confused in sometimes because, remember, we're not that far out of slavery and we've been conditioned a certain way and we're not going to change it overnight. But we can do a lot in this press situation to ask God to give us what we need to know to get ourselves from where we are to where we need to be and ask him to show us. And prayer will take you there. But you have to pray for what you don't have pray for what you don't have so that you can understand where you need to go to get to a place where you have turned away from the evil way and the evil things, and you're doing things that bring life to your to your life. And prayer is a stepping stone to get there. And without prayer, you won't get there. So even though you can pray and you can get up off your sick bed, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get right back in that bed and do the same. We tend to be creatures of habit, and it's just hard for us to break away from the things we know are wrong because we are conditioned in that way. And we just can't imagine how I can go from eating bacon in the morning to eating an asparagus burger or something in the morning. We can't get there. So we have to pray that we can see the way there and ask God to show us how to make that asparagus burger and make it taste good and continue on that way until you work out your salvation that way.
You know, Brother Coy, maybe I need to try your asparagus burger, my brother. I need to try your asparagus burger.
I don't have an asparagus burger. but I could probably go in the kitchen and make one if that's what you want.
I need to try yours, my brother, because I know you're going to cook it up.
I'll fix it for you there. I can fix it. But that's what it's about. You have to be willing to accept that. Say if you want an asparagus burger, be willing to go to the store, get some asparagus, play with it, do whatever you need to do with it to get it to where you want it to be. That's the whole process of making that change. You have to do trial and error sometimes to get to from here, step A to step B, and it's oftentimes it's in you. It's you have the ability. It's just that you haven't applied it or used it, and you just have to get to the place to where you can do all things.
Brother Coy, let's talk about the eyes for a moment. I know a lot of people feel and assume that, okay, as I get older, I'm going to need reading glasses or my eyes are dimming. And what about eyes? You know, we've talked about a lot of different aspects of holistic health. And I think for you can't have a discussion about aging without talking about the eyes. What I know water is going to be good for that, but what other foods are good to help to maintain eye health and to eliminate the degeneration of the eye?
Well, I think a lot of that comes from, again, eating animal fat. The eye, we probably know very little about how to take care of the eyes or what proper eye care is. And when we don't know, we're going to fall into that trap. But when you see that your eyes are dimming or you can't see far away or you got some kind of sight problem, it's some kind of inflammation in that eye region, and it's blocking the circulation to the eye so that it can do what it's supposed to do. So the first thing, yes, you want to maybe go to a juice diet. That would be a good way to maybe reduce some of that inflammation or pressure behind the eye and begin to flush some of this stuff out, and you'll see that your eyes will clear up. But learning how to take care of the eyes would be very, very beneficial in terms of taking care of the rest of the body, because that's just a warning that you need to pay closer attention to what you're doing to your body when your eyes start to go. So if you start to, or if you just want to start with learning how to take care of your eyes, you get the diet of just juicing. It's green leafy vegetables, red, yellow peppers, whatever raw vegetables you can get. Juice them and drink as much as you can every day. You'll see that your body will begin to come back together. It'll actually come to a place to where it'll begin to function the way it should. And as you do that, your eyes will get better and your pain will go away and you'll feel a lot better and you'll say, wow, this is all right. So yeah, I would encourage everyone to get a juicer and use it. I mean, don't get it and sit it on the counter. And I know that's something that we don't talk enough about, but we go out and buy a juicer and then we won't use it because we don't want to go shopping or we don't have what we think we want to juice in the house. So you have to kind of get the notion when you get a juicer that you're going to use it and get the things that you want to juice and just start juicing. And if you do that, maybe you can start by doing it 1 or 2 days out of the week until you work yourself up to maybe a 2-week or 30-day just juice fasting. And you'll see that your eyesight will improve as well as your whole body. So I would think that if you really want to make a difference in your life, get yourself a juicer and use it.
Mm-hmm. Brother Coy, somebody would like to speak to you, so I'm going to bring them on the air right now. I'm going to call the last 4 digits of your number, 4356. 4356, you're on the air with Brother Coy Dunston. Thank you for your call. Welcome.
Hi, Juwan, it's Renee. Quick question.
Hi,
and a statement. If you grill your asparagus, you'll love it. I didn't like asparagus, but I started eating it grilled, and it's so good. Try that. But my question is,
we'll try that.
Try it.
Thank you.
My question
I'll try,
is,
I tried
Coy,
everything.
What can we? Okay. What can we do about extreme fatigue?
Extreme fatigue is an indication that you're not getting enough oxygen in the body. So the first thing I would do is start learning how to breathe, deep breathing. Another way to disease is shallow breathing, and most of us don't know how to breathe. So if you learn how to deep breathe, you pull the air in through your nostrils and push it all the way down to your pelvic, to your gut swells up like a balloon, and then you slowly let it out. And you have to, because it's something that we don't automatically do. So deep breathing is a little different in that maybe when you lay down at night, just practice deep breathing. Push the air all the way down to your gut till it gets like a balloon, and then let it out slowly. And the slower you do that, the better off you'll be. Your pressure comes down, your body comes back together, and everything kind of you can rest, and oftentimes we are not resting because we are not breathing properly, or we don't when we think we are resting, we are not really resting because there's no oxygen in the body to function. So if I was extremely fatigued, that's one thing I would do. But it can also be fibromyalgia. A lot of women suffer with that. Again, breathing would help that. And then, two, you may need to get on a good nutritional program, maybe a good multiple vitamin formulator for women or a good multiple vitamin formulator for men, and begin to eat the foods that you know would give you energy, like greens and raw juices. All of those things will help regenerate the body so that you can get the energy that you need. So right now you're probably shallow breathing and you're not moving enough to get the body oxygenated so that you can have the energy that you need. Without oxygen, you have no energy. So the first thing you want to do is make sure you get your oxygen in the body, and then you do that by breathing. The breathing will oxygenate the whole body, and you will find that to be a good start. Other than that, get on a good supplemental program and see, find a good vitamin that works for you, and you'll find that another condition might be you might just be malnourished, and you just need to get some more supplemental vitamins into your system so that you can have the energy that you need to function at the day. And another thing is stress. You have to learn how to deal with stress, because stress will dehydrate you, and it will also cause you to not breathe properly. So when you're learning to breathe, it will help you reduce the stress, and that's reducing the stress will help your body rest a little better. Hopefully that'll help you, son.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have another question or comment, Queen Renee?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. Great to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Always good to be here.
Thank you. You know, Brother Coy, again, I think it's important to stress the importance of, for people that are making the transition, I'll put it this way, it's easier when you are not doing it by yourself. If you are doing it with somebody, you know, for example, if you have a mate and they're on board with you, then that makes it so much easier than if you are trying to do it and, you know, you don't cook the food, but the person that cooks the food, they're not on board with it. They want to continue to eat, you know, the lifestyle that actually brought the condition on. But even if, let's say you're not married, you're doing this, you know, you decide that you want to do this, you want to make sure, get a buddy. You got to, you know, just somebody else that's doing it with you that can encourage you.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's so important, because, again, just knowing that you have somebody else that you can pick up the phone and call, even to go shopping with. You know, hey, it's Saturday morning. Hey, let's go shopping. Let's go grab some fruits and vegetables or whatever. Let's have a juice party, you know, call over some friends or whatever, and everybody, you know, just, you know, let's try some juicing. Let's do some recipes, you know, because just when you're trying to do it by yourself, you know, let's say you're living by yourself, and then you want to make it fun. This can be a fun process. This doesn't have to be just work. And I think that could be the case for a lot of people, too, when they're saying, okay, the doctor has told me that I've got arthritis. The doctor's told me I've got a heart condition. The doctor's told me that, you know, I'm in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's or cancer or whatever, and they hear this show, then what we're talking about is changing this and stopping that. And, you know, for a lot of people, that sounds like work. You know, it's like, oh, man, I got to do this by myself. You know, this doesn't have to be work like that. It doesn't have to be approached. If you can approach it from the standpoint of, this can be fun. I can learn some new recipes, you know, that I can use to heal my body, especially for women that like to cook. I mean, there are a lot of delicious recipes, and Brother Coy is a cook. I mean, he knows how to cook up some vegetarian food, and I'm sure, Brother Coy, you will agree that this approach doesn't have to be one that is so tedious, and that will turn a lot of people off.
Well, you should make it exciting. I mean, just forget everything you know. Go in the kitchen and just grab two or three different vegetables and just see what you can do with them. I mean, it can be very exciting and fun if you just do it. I mean, fix it different ways and see what works for you. That's the whole process. We have to relearn how to eat, and unless you have the energy and the time to do that, you're not going to do it. But we can learn how to do anything if we take the time to do it, and it's best to do it when you're able to do it. Don't wait till you get sick. And then try to learn how to do all of this. Do it before you get sick. At least familiarize yourself with it so you know what you need to do and you know how you like things, and begin to develop those things over time. And you can probably avoid the process of completely breaking down in order to make a change. You don't want to do that. That's not a good idea.
Brother Coy, lastly, if you could talk about exercise, my brother, because, again, a lot of people, as they start to age, you know, they start feeling, you know, the aches and the pains, and it's like, you know, they want to exercise, but they feel that, you know, they just can't do it anymore, you know. So even if you're at a position where you just might not be able to run 5 miles, maybe you can walk a mile, you know, and you can just, you know, just to get the body moving, that's going to be important in reversing and slowing down and finding that fountain of youth. Right?
Well, moving is important for a number of reasons. We have to move, number one, to keep our joints from cramping up on us. And number two, we have to move to get our lymphatic system pumping. So there's several reasons why it's important to move. Now, we don't have to stress the body out by trying to lift 1,000 pounds, and we don't have to run 100 miles. We can just start by learning how to breathe. When you breathe, put your whole body in it. Pull air all the way in throughout the whole body. Just do that for about 5 or 10 minutes. Then you can maybe do a little stretching, like yoga or something like that. I would encourage that. But the whole idea is that you have to understand that movement is moving the lymphatic system. Your heart has a pump to pump. The lymphatic system don't. But the function of the lymphatic system is to take nutrition to the cells and take the waste away. So when we sit around our sedentary, that waste don't get a chance to move, and that's how you begin to shut down those generators and short-circuit the body. So by moving, you can prevent a lot of the conditions that we get, particular disease conditions, simply just by helping the body as much as you can move. If you are eating something that you shouldn't eat, you want to make sure you move and breathe so that the lymphatic system has a chance to do what it needs to do. Now, if you don't do that, your lymphatic system is not going to function, and all that garbage is going to pile up in you, and that's how you get sick. So, it's important to move. It's important to exercise. It's important to do what we know we should be doing, walking, breathing. If you want to get into some aerobics, that's fine. If you want to get your heart beat up and bring it down, that's good, if you want to do all of that. But it's really not necessary. I think it's just understanding that you need to move your lymphatic system, and the best way to move it is breathing. If you don't breathe, your lymphatic system gets stagnated, and that's why you don't have the energy that you should have. Because all these toxins are just floating around, and there's nothing to pump them out, and you're not helping it. Plus, you don't want to get up and move, so you go into a state of disease. So exercise is important in that respect. But you don't have to kill yourself, and you don't have to be a Atlas man or something like that. But you do have to move, and you move for the primary reason of moving your lymphatic system. So that would be my take on exercise.
Brother, we've covered a lot, and I want to make sure that we give the listeners a way of getting in contact with you, because I know that after hearing this show, they know that, you know, they're listening to the voice of wisdom. And as I stated, that when you are on this path, you need to be on this path with other people who are on the path with you, to encourage you, to support you in what you're doing, because It's about making a transition. If you're new to this information and you're like, well, that's it, that's what I need to do, I got the answer now. Well, surround yourself with other people that know what it is that you that have been there, okay, that have made the transition themselves. They know what it's like to, you know, want a juice, but, you know, they, their palate is still familiar with the things that got them to the point where they need to make a change today. So I'm going to give you a number, and Corey's going to give you his address on how you can get in contact with him, just because you're going to need some support along the way. Brother Corey also has got an awesome establishment up in Washington, D.C., called Secrets of Nature, where he actually prepares vegan and vegetarian food. And, again, if you've never tasted, I was going to say asparagus burger, if you've never tasted vegetarian food, vegan food, delicious, then you need to get by Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. But let me give you the telephone number so you can call Brother Corey. If you'd like more information, he can give you directions to, you know, different resources. If you'd like to, you know, continue this discussion with Brother Corey, the telephone number is 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Brother Corey, could you give your hours of operation and, you know, so that people, if they're in that area and the address, so that if they're passing through, they just want to stop by and say hello and grab a vegetarian dish and to even get scheduled an appointment, a consultation to sit and talk with you about whatever might be on their mind?
Well, generally, there's really no time to take off in what I do, but I try to keep my hours from 8 to 6 each day. Except Sunday, I don't go in on Sunday. I kind of just do what I need to do, other things I need to do on Sunday. And sometimes I'll try to take a day off during the week if I feel like I need to. But otherwise, if you call the number 202-562-0041, leave a message if I don't answer, but generally I'll answer. And I can get back to you, or I can answer any questions that you may have if you call me. I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. So if you ever up this way and you want to stop by and get something good to eat, come by and see me. That's over on the Southwest side, right off of 495 going to Baltimore from the south. You're going across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. You take 210 north, and you'll come about maybe 2 miles down. You'll come to you'll see an AutoZone in the middle of this block, look like. I'm right across the street from the AutoZone. Stop in, say hello, heard me on the radio, whatever. Just, you don't have to buy nothing up. If you want to buy something, that would be great. But that's what I do every day. And, the whole idea here is that if you want to change, you got to want to change. If you don't want to change, then you're not going to change. But if you want to change, that's when you're on the right track, and they're not only myself, there are other people around that can assist you in that change, and we can make it fun for you and really show you what it ought to taste like. I mean, everybody can't fix vegetarian food, but at least you should be able to taste what it should taste like, and that's what we try to do. And if you try that, I think you'll like it, and you'll wonder why you haven't been eating that way all your life. But we need to get off that fast food. We need to get off the track of eating the garbage and go back to eating what we're supposed to eat, and that's what I try to do.
And, Brother Corey, I know you'll agree with me that when you're ready to make that change, all the excuses will go out the window. All of the reasons why you can't juice, why you can't exercise, why you can't prepare a vegan meal or a vegetarian meal, why you can't stop drinking coffee, why you can't stop eating meat, why you can't stop eating dairy. Once you're ready to make that change, all of those excuses will go by the wayside, because the change will become more important than you'll see the necessity, and the change will become the driving force. And when you see that it's necessary to make that change, you don't want the doctor to tell you you got 6 weeks to live, like Corey, like it was with Corey's mother. You don't want to get to that point. So, let the excuses go, because you'll be glad that you did. Your body will thank you for it. Like Brother Corey said, quoting Brother Bay, God will forgive you for what you do to your body, but your body won't. Okay? So that, Brother Corey, I want to thank you, sir. You, again, have, you know, made a very compelling case as to why we should definitely make that change, because really it is truly a matter of life and death. We make, again, quote, suggestions, end quote, but hey, don't take it as a suggestion. I mean, because the bottom line is, the reality of it is, if you don't take the change, you'll wish that you had. So with that being said, I understand that it's a process, and that's why we have people like Brother Coy to come on the air to help you with this transition to, I mean, you got questions again, and he sells herbs. I mean, he sells the very things that we're talking about. It's not like we're just having this discussion, and it's like, okay, now where do I get this stuff from, you know? Brother Coy has an establishment. He not only sells vegetarian food and prepares it right there where you can see it, he actually sells the herbs and the things that we talk about. So, again, no excuses, all right? It's time to make that change, you know? Brother Coy, I want to thank you, sir. Again, any parting words?
I appreciate you and what you do, and I hope I've been a blessing to your audience tonight, and I look to see you again in about a month.
All right, Brother Coy. Thank you. I know we went over a little bit, my brother. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for all of the work that you've done over the years. You've helped a lot of people and started a lot of people on this path, and you've been a mentor for a lot of people, and I view you as a mentor to myself, and I thank you so much again, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you soon.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Shalom. Everybody, that was...
to the audience, everybody. Bye.
Yes. Yes. King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Everybody, you know that you heard the truth this afternoon. And I just want to say to you that if you are considering making that change, know that you can do it. You're going to have to surround yourself with people that believe in what you believe in. You're going to have to surround yourself with people that support you on this journey. You're going to have to surround yourself with people that will encourage you to do the right thing, even when you know that, you know, that taste bud hasn't quite transitioned yet. The mind is saying, you know, don't eat that hamburger, put that burger down. But the taste bud is saying, well, you know, I can start tomorrow. You need that person right there beside you to say, look, come on. You said you were going to make that change. Come on, at least put forth the effort. Come on, let's try it. Look, I know this vegetarian restaurant. Look, let's go by and see Coy. You know, we heard the show. Let's stop by. Now would be a great time to run on by there, but eat some vegetarian food, and, you know, let's do it. You know, you need that. So surround yourself with people who are going to support you, people who are going to encourage you, because, hey, you're worth it. Your body is worth it. You're worth the effort that it's going to take to make that change. And again, you'll be glad that you did. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. My name is Jawanza. You've been listening to Jawanza for Life. And, of course, King Coy Dunstan. I'm going to give you his telephone number again. That's 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. Spread the word, everybody, by the way. You can leave messages on Blog Talk if you're listening Blog Talk and you want to send me a message. You can let me know how you're enjoying the shows, you know, what you'd like to hear more of. So, again, I appreciate your time. I really do. God bless. Have a wonderful evening. And thank you for listening. Peace.